On the morning of February 7th, 2016, director of Bangladesh Bank Zubair bin Huda takes the elevator and gets off on the 10th floor. He walks briskly into the most restricted part of the building, his mind fixated on the problem that has plagued his office for the past couple of days. The printer. This isn't just any printer. It's an automated machine hooked up to the bank's software designed to print transaction reports instantly, automatically, and 24/7. This printer was a big deal, and the empty tray represented a huge problem. After troubleshooting the issue for 2 days, the printer finally comes back online. But then, a backlog of more than expected reports started rolling out, and it was soon obvious that something wasn't right. The New York Federal Reserve received instructions to drain their entire account. Panic erupted as employees rushed to stop the transaction, but it was likely too late. Bangladesh had just lost $1 billion.
Cipher.
Late at night, an email quietly arrived in the inboxes of unsuspecting Bangladesh bank employees. It was January 2015, the calm before the storm. The email appeared to be a simple zip file disguised as a job application, but it carried harmful malware primed by hackers to breach the bank's defenses. One by one, multiple bank employees unknowingly opened the zip file, granting the hackers their first foothold. Like a cancer, the malware spread through the network. This wasn't just any malware. It was a custom-engineered, advanced piece of software that established encrypted channels and mapped the infrastructure of the bank's system. Over the next year, the hackers used the sophisticated malware to create hidden backdoors in the bank's network and establish encrypted communication channels. They studied how legitimate bank employees operated and gradually figured out how money was transferred. What they learned was that the bank used a system called SWIFT. SWIFT, short for the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, is a secure messaging network used by banks and financial institutions worldwide to transmit instructions and information for international money transfers. In other words, it was a state-of-the-art system, the kind relied upon by federal banks globally. This highly developed network was designed with the highest security standards and was believed to be impenetrable, a digital fortress guarding the financial lifeblood of nations. Yet, the hackers found a way in. But they faced three significant roadblocks. First, the printer that automatically printed out SWIFT transactions in the office at the Bangladesh Bank. Second was the challenge of flawlessly impersonating Bangladesh Bank's credentials on the SWIFT system to make the fraudulent transfer request appear legitimate to the US Federal Reserve. And third, the Bangladesh Bank itself didn't hold enough money in its own accounts to make it worth the hackers' time and effort. However, it controlled billions of dollars stored at the US Federal Reserve Bank. By exploiting SWIFT transactions, the hackers could access those vast reserves of money after dealing with problems 1 and 2, using the Bangladesh Bank as a perfect disguise to obtain unimaginable wealth. But why target Bangladesh Bank of all places? The answer is simpler than you might think. Bangladesh at the time had a rapidly growing economy. Despite this progress, it remained a developing nation. Its central bank, unlike those in more established countries, lacked the powerful security measures needed to fend off measured attacks. The hackers saw a golden opportunity in this discrepancy. They knew that while the bank's financial operations were expanding, its cybersecurity infrastructure wasn't up to date. This made Bangladesh Bank a prime target, rich enough to be worth the effort, but vulnerable enough to be breached. As they lay in wait, they weren't just observing. They were crafting even more sophisticated malware to tackle their printer problem. Through their access to the network, they discovered that the printer, responsible for transaction logs, was controlled by a computer constantly monitored by employees who confirmed each transaction. Instead of shutting down the computer or locking out the workers, The hackers devised a more ingenious plan. They aimed to deceive the employee overseeing the printer on the day of the heist. They created malware that, when injected into the computer, would cause it to stop printing the transaction logs, making it seem like a technical glitch. This would ensure that their fraudulent activities remained unnoticed, hidden behind a printer malfunction. With everything meticulously set in place, all the hackers needed was a place to send the money. They established 5 primary accounts. 4 of these accounts were discreetly opened at the RCBC Bank on Jupiter Street in Manila, Philippines, each with an initial deposit of $500 in May of 2015. The 5th account was created in Sri Lanka. As a safeguard, they also set up backup accounts scattered across the globe, each one ready to receive millions of dollars. The stage was set for a heist like no one has seen before. On the night of Thursday, February 4th, 2016, the hackers' plan was set in motion. As employees left for the day, the hackers logged onto the computers controlling Swift and began what they had been preparing for over the year. But what makes this plan even more genius is the timing. When you pull off a heist, you usually pick out a weekend or a time when there is less staff around to catch you, but this isn't your average heist. It was seemingly the most genius heist ever because of one thing: time zones. The Swift terminal in Bangladesh, the US Federal Reserve in New York, and the receiving banks in the Philippines were all in different time zones. Now, besides the time zones being to their advantage, in Bangladesh, the weekend starts on a Thursday night. This meant that once the hackers initiated their heist, the bank would be empty until Sunday morning. However, it wasn't the weekend in New York. It was Friday morning around 9:36 a.m. This meant that when the hackers began issuing commands to transfer the money, New York had an entire workday ahead of them to process and execute the request. Adding to their advantage, the upcoming Monday, February 8th, was the Chinese New Year, a bank holiday in the Philippines, providing an extended window to move the money without detection. The hackers had from Thursday to Monday to exploit 3 different time zones. On Friday morning, the Federal Reserve in New York received an influx of Swift transaction requests, seemingly from the Bangladesh bank. The New York Federal Reserve began processing these transactions, sending $951 million to the hackers' various accounts, one by one. At this point though, the hack was done. They'd hack into the Bangladesh bank, requested and were sent millions of dollars from the New York Federal Reserve, and requested funds to 35 different accounts. The hackers logged out of the Bangladesh bank's Swift network, and their installed malware began wiping evidence of the crime. But there was one more thing. The printer. The printer that is constantly printing physical evidence of all Swift transaction reports every day, including Bangladeshi weekends. On Sunday, Zubair, the bank's director, got into work after the weekend and started his workday by checking the printer. However, it was empty thanks to the hacker's pre-installed malware. But Zubair just assumed it to be a technical glitch. Glitches happen all the time. But Sunday brought even bigger issues. Bangladesh bank employees struggled to access the Swift terminal, encountering error message when attempting to log in. Among the few messages that weren't error messages were 3 from the New York Federal Reserve questioning nearly $1 billion worth of payment request. Zubair now was in full panic mode and attempted to contact the Federal Reserve, but it was Saturday in New York and his frantic calls went unanswered because of the weekend. Desperate, he started sending emails and faxes, calling for a halt to all transactions to prevent further losses. At this point, they had no idea what to do, so the Bangladesh bank employees shut down their servers and started sending out appeals to the intermediary banks in efforts to recover the funds. One thing about the international banking system is its reliance on numerous intermediary banks. Funds don't simply move directly from the New York Federal Reserve to the accounts in Asia. They pass through several intermediary banks. This caused even more confusion when Bangladesh bank employees started making calls all over the world trying to find their money. However, something unforeseen happened. fate intervened, granting the bank a stroke of luck. The automated system in New York had flagged 30 transactions for manual review. By pure coincidence, one of the words on the SWIFT order matched the name of an Iranian shipping vessel that had been blacklisted for evading US sanctions. This coincidence would prove disastrous for the hackers, as $870 million worth of transfer requests were now held for human review. They soon noticed several red flags. The ridiculously large total, the unusually high number of payment instructions, and the large transfers to private entities rather than actual banks. The heist was over, or was it? There were 5 transactions left. One transfer was a $20 million transaction to an account in Sri Lanka. The transfer was approved and began its journey through an intermediary bank in Germany. However, something unforeseen happened. A simple error halted the request for review. The transfer request misspelled Shalika Foundation as Shalika Foundation, missing an O. This minor mistake triggered immediate suspicion as soon as a human eye caught the discrepancy during the transfer review, rerouting the transaction back to Bangladesh Bank's New York account. Now there were 4, totaling $81 million. A total of 35 transactions were attempted, amounting to almost $1 billion, but only 4 transactions actually went through. The hackers managed to move $81 million to their 4 RCBC bank accounts in the Philippines. This was possible because the transfers happened during the Chinese New Year when RCBC Bank was closed, preventing the Bangladesh Bank from stopping them. But they needed a way to get the money. A large percentage of the $81 million went to a single person. From the investigation in the Philippines, the authorities confirmed that $30 million was given to a Chinese national, who then disappeared without a trace. He was involved somehow, maybe the man who planned the heist and received a huge lump of sum. But there is still, to this day, no trace of the man or what happened to his money. That leaves $51 million. The hacker's next move was to make sure the stolen money couldn't be traced back to the heist. They needed to launder $51 million, so they came up with a plan to send part of it to 2 casinos. The Midas Casino and the Solaire Casino, with $30 million going to Solaire and $20 million to Midas. In 2016, casinos in the Philippines didn't have good money laundering regulations, making them a perfect target. How the money got to the casinos isn't clear, but usually, big spenders don't just show up with cash. They link their bank accounts to the casinos and transfer money that way. Once the money was in the casinos, the hackers couldn't just take it and leave without raising suspicion. They needed to gamble for a while to blend in. So the hackers went into the casinos and asked for a private gambling room known as a junket, where high rollers can play without being disturbed. They told the casino they'd spend $10 million there. These junket rooms were playing baccarat, a game where, over time, you usually get back about 90% of your money, making it a good way to keep most of your money after laundering it. So, the hackers sat in these private rooms in the 2 casinos, playing with the stolen money, trying to buy time to cash out without getting caught. Everyone involved, including the Bangladesh Bank, the New York Federal Reserve, the RCBC, and law enforcement agencies, knew that $81 million had been stolen and were desperately trying to track it down, but it was too late. After their form of money laundering, the hackers exchanged their chips for cash, exited the casino, and left the country, flying to Macau, a special administrative region of China, becoming impossible to track. Altogether, they managed to successfully steal $81 million from the Bangladesh Bank. Now the question remains, who did it? Despite the hackers' best efforts of removing evidence from the bank system, experts were still able to analyze the malware, finding similar tools and techniques between the Bangladesh Bank heist and other cyber attacks from around the world. All evidence pointed to a North Korean group. Security researchers named this North Korean hacking collective the Lazarus Group. It is almost unheard of for a country to hack for monetary gain, but it makes sense from a geopolitical standpoint. In 2013, Sanctions had passed restricting North Korea from bulk transfers of money, which was a response to North Korea launching an unsanctioned missile test. They stopped getting access to international money, and then 2 years later in 2015, they started hacking into Bangladesh Bank, according to the FBI. The Lazarus Group had been hitting bank after bank, attempting to steal millions of dollars. All in, it's estimated that the Lazarus Group has tried to steal roughly $1.2 billion, but has only ended up with $122 million. But their $81 million heist from the Bangladesh Bank was one of the largest bank robberies in history.